Can we name something that we do every day of the week? Is there something that is somehow so important in our lives that we almost never fail to do it on a daily basis? When God gave the Ten Commandments, and we've been studying this from Exodus chapter 20, God gave an instruction which involved the lives of his people every single day. This commandment is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We'll read that soon. And it was one of the commandments that it was designed to show God's sovereignty, God's being over all of his people. God did not want the Jews, as we look at the fourth commandment, to think about him a few times a year. Now, sometimes under the Christian dispensation, that is how people view God. They see him as one to be worshipped a few times a year, perhaps when there is a quote-unquote religious holiday. Others would say, well, we're going to worship maybe a few times a month, or maybe if we're lucky, we'll get most weeks in. But God didn't want the people to think about him from time to time, or even once a week. The fourth commandment was a way of saying to the Jews, I want you to be mindful of me. I want you to think about me 7 days a week, every single day. The fourth commandment is, of course, about keeping the Sabbath. And in it, the Jews were told what to do. That's in verse 8. They were told how to carry out the commandment. That's in verses 9 and 10. And then in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, God said, this is why you need to keep this commandment. Let's start the reading, Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 8 and going down through verse 11. Remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and shalt do thy work. But in the seventh, it is a Sabbath unto Jehovah thy God. In it shalt thou not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, as you look at this commandment talking about the 7 days, it begins, of course, with the word remember. That's an important word. The word Sabbath is also a key word. We may, as things unfold on Sunday nights, do some more study on the word Sabbath. As you look at the words in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, you also find the word holy. That's also a significant term. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9, we find the words labor and work, two key words that we'll talk about a little bit more because those words also relate to our lives. We have a very strong prohibition against working on the Sabbath day. That's in verse 10. And then in verse 11, we, of course, have some information about creation. Before going any further, let's pause and make a brief observation. God is a God who has worked in the past. He's rested in the past. And as we look at Exodus chapter 20, we find that that is, in some respects, a pattern for us. When we think back to the creation week, going back to the book of Genesis, we know that God worked. Worked in the sense that he was involved with creative work. And then as we look at that 7 day creation week, we find that God rested, not complete rest. But on that seventh day, he rested from his creative efforts. Well, God continues to work. But we also find that God continues to rest in the sense that he is no longer doing the kinds of things regarding creation that he did during the creation week. God's action during that creation week were an example for the Hebrews. And ultimately, they serve as an example for us that life is also about working and resting. God has laid out for us a pattern which is the very best way to live. But as with many of other God's patterns, men come along and they think that we have a better idea. Well, God or history's been established to show that people have lived this way a long time, but we finally think that we've come up with some improvements. Bill Gates, he's a name that most of us are familiar with, and I assume that he still does not believe in God, but at least some years ago, billionaire Bill Gates was asked why he did not believe in God. Gates said this, in terms of time and resources, religion, in his estimation, is not very efficient. He went on to say that a lot more could be done on Sunday mornings if you simply didn't go to worship. Well, as you look at the Ten Commandments, especially this one, the fourth one, you begin to find that it starts with the word remember. And as you think about the word remember, that can have different connotations. It can bring different things to mind. For example, if you tell someone to remember this day, you're probably indicating that you want them to remember something that they didn't know in the past. You're telling them that there's something special about this day, something special about this occasion, something special about this time, this period, this event, whatever it is, and I want you to remember this, I want you to put this in your head, and I don't want you to ever forget it. We also, as we think about that word remember, might use that word in a different sense. We might tell someone to remember, that is, there was something that happened in the past, they experienced that, they knew that, they were familiar with that, and we're asking them in their mind to go back and pull that event back to their mind mentally and recall that previous event or piece of information. Well, back in Exodus 20, God said, I want you to remember the Sabbath. And you have a couple of different senses here. There was a previous reference to the Sabbath back in the book of Exodus. If we skip back just a few chapters, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23, you will find there a reference to the Sabbath. After God's people had come out of Egypt, after they're marching towards Sinai, you may remember that God provided manna for the people 6 days a week. On the seventh day, there was some leftover. There was plenty of food so that they did not need to collect manna on that seventh day. And that was designed to help set the stage for what we find now in Exodus chapter 20, that is the fourth commandment. God used the 6 days of work, the collecting of manna, and then that day off where they had plenty of food to get them through that day to show that there also needed to be a day of rest. So there is the historical aspect of remembering from Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23. But there is also that other aspect or significant point when it comes to remembering, and that is when God said, remember the Sabbath. He was saying, don't forget about this day. And he was also saying, this is a day that you need to practice. When Sunday comes, this is a day that you need to honor God. And you need to honor me, God says, in the way that I'm describing. Now, we, of course, I think we're all familiar with the fact that we are no longer under the Ten Commandments. We have a new system, and that new system includes a new day. But even though we have a new system, even though we have a new day, there is still a principle, a great principle from the fourth commandment. Now, we also have an obligation to do some remembering. We have an obligation to remember a special day and an obligation to remember what God wants us to do in that special day. Someone says, how do you know that? Do you recall from Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, one of the accounts where we read about the institution of the Lord's Supper, Jesus specifically used the word remember. He said, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me through the Lord's Supper. Well, we remember him in the right way with that act and with other acts of worship on the designated day, not the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, Exodus chapter 20. Now it's the first day of the week, Sunday, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. On the day of an anniversary, over the years, there have probably been some spouses that have been upset, or maybe it was a birthday. Some families, I guess an anniversary may not be nearly as special to some as a birthday. Some people are just really big on birthdays. But imagine an anniversary comes, or a birthday comes, and the day is forgotten. Or the day is remembered as far as actually recalling the date, but nothing is done. That would upset some people. So we understand what it means to be reminded or the need to remember a date. When it comes to our life on earth, the fourth commandment tells us that God is to be the head of our lives. And he's to be the head of our lives 7 days a week. And as we think about that 7 day a week, one day a week is to have special focus on God. True for the Jews and now true for us. As we keep looking at the fourth commandment, we find a number of points that have some practical application for us. For instance, as you look at this commandment, we pointed this out earlier from the reading, God talks about work in the commandment. You know, there are some people who have concluded that God never intended man to work. There's some people who think that God just put us here and it was all supposed to sort of be idle playtime, hanging around in the garden. That's not true. And we know that's not true because of what we find back in the book of Genesis. Now, some seem to have never read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. There is an idea out there that says Adam and Eve, especially Adam, he was there in the garden, and it was only after Adam and Eve got booted out of the garden that they started to work. That idea is false. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, before Eve comes along, the Bible says Adam was told to dress and keep the garden. Now, that's work. Now, that may not be a lot of work. That may not be a lot of work compared to what happened after the fall. But that was work. Man was made to work. That's what you find in the book of Genesis. Now, someone says, well, what kind of work might man do? Work can take all kinds of forms. It can involve a wide number of environments. And as we think about the sin in the book of Genesis, it is true that sin has made work more complicated. After Adam and Eve sinned, you may recall from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, the text says the ground was cursed, implying, of course, that had not formally been the case. You also have, as we think about what's taking place in Exodus chapter 20, the word toil. Prior to sin, limited effort was needed to work the ground. But now people were going to need to work, they were going to need to toil. After sin, things like weeds became a problem. I didn't feel like doing a lot of extensive looking this week, so I want to go back and look at this in a little more detail. But if a quick web search is correct, there are more than 6,000 different types of weeds. Now, you can, I think, categorize weeds into three basic categories. But if you want to get really specific, more than 6,000, actually more than 6,300 different types of weeds. Now, if that's anywhere close to being correct, imagine just how weed-filled our planet is. I mean, we think about weeds in the grass and weeds in the garden and weeds growing through the pavement, but there's probably a lot more weeds than we will ever see during a lot of time on Earth. Now, we all understand, I think, how the Sabbath worked for the Jews. God said you get 6 days to use for yourself. And then God says when day seven comes, the Sabbath day, God says that is my day. Have you ever, in your study of the Ten Commandments, or in your thinking about God, have you ever considered how things would have been if God had reversed the numbers? Now let that sink in for just a bit. What if God had said 7 day week? I'll understand that. And God says, I'm going to let you have 1 day per week. The other 6 days belong to me. 6 Sabbath days, and you get 1 day. Well, that would change things a bit, wouldn't it? Over the years, I've met some people, not many, thankfully, but I've met some people over the years who have sat across the table from me and said, you know, I understand it's your job to be a preacher and bring people out on Sunday and whatnot, but I want you to know. I want you to know something about my life and my schedule. Sunday is my day. That's my day off, and I don't want to give up my day. Flip things around, and all of a sudden you begin to get a new perspective on things. Based on who God is, and we've talked about that fairly extensively as we've gone through the first three commandments. I argued last week as well as the two preceding weeks that when you begin to look at the first three commandments, God says, this is who I am from three different perspectives. And because of who I am, first three commandments, there are some things that you need to do. There are some things that you need to understand about me. And when you understand those things about me, there will be some things that naturally flow from my identity, my name, my person. When we begin to understand who God is, God's asking or God's telling his people, I'm going to take from you 1 day a week. That's going to be my day. That's fair. That's right. And that's just. As we think about that Old Testament Sabbath, which again, we may study in more detail, it's called a Sabbath to God, Exodus 20 and verse 10. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, language is used there, which essentially says the Sabbath is God's day. And then God said on this special day that belongs to me, it is a day designed for sacred or special assemblies, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3. That would be worship. One of the keys, and this is what so many people want out of life. One of the keys that people want is a well-balanced life. Well, the Bible helps with that. And one of the places where Scripture helps with that is in the book of Exodus chapter 20. You find when it comes to the right balance in life that there is rest, there is work, and there is worship. If you want a well-balanced life, put those three things into your life in the right percentage. Honor God at the appointed times in the congregation where we are. And with that worship, with that dedication to God, also bring with it work and rest. Compared with other parts of our country, and I think that most people would agree with this, someone might wish to argue, and that's perfectly fine, but I think compared to most parts of the United States, our state has overall a reasonably good work ethic. Now you can say, well, you don't work with some of the people that I do. Well, that very well might be true, but compared to other states, I think that overall our state does reasonably well. In the homes where Christian kids are being raised, or kids that may become Christians are being reared, try to ensure that we continue to do our best to instill a good work ethic in children. Kids need to be taught about work as far as it's right. Man was made to work. And it's important to have a good work ethic. Work is approved by God. It's been said all too often that people want to play at work and work at play. And that's not what we find in Scripture. Each person, as we look at life, can engage in work. When people retire, they might feel old, but they're not too old to work. Preteens are not too young to work. Someone says, I have a disability, a learning disability, a physical disability. I have both. Well, that's unfortunate. But still, there's some kind of work that even you can do. A person may need to work with some restrictions. A person may need to work with some limitations. A person may need to work with some kind of diminished capacity. But work is good, it's right, and it's productive. About three-fourths of the way that I had fit, after about three-fourths of my Air Force enlistment, there was a special seminar that was being conducted. And this seminar was designed for career military people, officers, and enlisted people who were thinking about retirement. The man that I was working for was thinking about retirement, especially if he didn't get his next promotion. And this came across my desk, and I forwarded it to him, and I told him. I said, I'd like to go to that seminar. Not that I was thinking about making the career, but it was just at that time in life, it just seemed so interesting and odd, and I thought, well, maybe I can pick up something that would be fascinating or maybe helpful for the future. So my boss let me go. I tagged along that day. And as I was listening to the presenter so many years ago, the one thing that stood out to me was this. He talked about the fact that there were service people who would be in the military for 20 or more years, and they would retire. And then he'd get a report which said that not many years after that, sometimes within a year, he said they died. Now that got my attention. And I wondered, why would that be? Well, he didn't leave us hanging very long. He said, think about your military life, your career. He said, you're going, 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 and it's always some kind of activity. And then he said, all of a sudden, you're just going to put the brakes on, and you're going to come to a halt. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to go out and golf for a little while. And he said, all of a sudden, things just don't continue at the pace, and people think that they can just stop working and halt. And he said, they die. That stuck with me for a number of years. Just doesn't work out typically very well. And if you've ever been sick, I think I qualify. Or if you have had a time where maybe you had an extended period of time off, you can sleep in, you can watch TV, and for a little while you can let life glide by with ease. But it's not all that great. It's not all that fun. Man was designed to be productive. In the later years, you might not work as long. You might not work as hard. You might not do the same kind of work that you did in the earlier years, but don't quit working. Don't stop working. And not only have something outside of church work, but also make sure that you have involvement with spiritual things. Keep God as a priority through life, honor Him in all the right ways, and continue to work. We know the value of a good work ethic in the world. That's especially true in our area with all the factory work. A good work ethic is also a key ingredient in a local congregation. Most of us, as we look around, we can name some people who, when it comes to the work world, are top-notch workers. I can think about my time in the service in the secular world, some of the places, and I can go back and I can still recall over the years some of the names of people who were just, I mean, they were always there and always dependable. They were just at the top of the game work-wise. And I can name some Christians who, when it came to the secular work world, they were so committed, so zealous, so firm. Many, I think, would have said that they were the perfect employee. And yet, when it came to the church, you know what? Almost worthless. Now, that's sad to say. That's painful to say. But if we believe that a man or an organization slash a business deserves our best effort, doesn't God deserve just as much? Does he deserve any less? If we believe that we should put in a full week for an employer, would we seek to cheat God? There's a story about a beggar who is accustomed to approaching people on the street asking for money. One day this beggar goes up to a certain man on the street and makes his pitch. The man who has asked for some money reaches into his pocket and finds that he has a wad of money in there, takes out the wad of money, and he begins to go through it. He finds that he has some dollar bills. So he begins to peel off the dollar bills. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One left. And he hands the $6 over to the beggar, and he says, here you go, thinking that the beggar would be grateful. The beggar took the $6, and then the beggar slapped the guy on the face that gave him the $6. He then grabbed the seventh and ran away. Now, what would you say to that beggar? Or what would you say about the beggar? Scoundrel? Scallywag? Creep? Ingrate? What about the man who takes 6 days or 6.5 days every week for himself and then says to God, I'm going to take your seventh as well?